ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ धर्मबाधो विधर्मस्य परधर्मो न्यचोदितः उपधर्मस्तु पाखंडो दम्भो वा शब्दविच्छलः। The translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation: religious principles that obstruct one from following his own religion are called vidharma. Religious principles introduced by others are called paradharma. A new type of religion created by one who is falsely proud and who opposes the principles of the Vedas is called upadharma. And interpretation by one's jugglery of words is called chaladharma. Purport: to create a new type of dharma has become fashionable in this age. So-called swamis and yogis support that one may follow any type of religious systems according to one's own choice, because all systems are ultimately the same. In Srimad Bhagavatam, however, such fashionable ideas are called vidharma because they go against one's religious system. The real religious system is described by the Supreme Personality of Godhead: Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam vraja. The real religious system is that of surrender to the lotus feet of the Lord. In the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, in connection with Ajamil's deliverance, Yamaraj says, dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. Real religion is that which is given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, just as real law is that which is given by the government. No one can manufacture actual law at home, nor can one manufacture actual religion. Elsewhere it is said, savai pumsam paro dharmo yato bhaktir adokshaje. The real religious system is that which leads one to become a devotee of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, anything opposed to this religious system of progressive Krishna consciousness is called vidharma, paradharma, upadharma or chaladharma. Misinterpretation of Bhagavad Gita is chaladharma. When Krishna directly says something and some rascal interprets it to mean something different, this is chaladharma, a religious system of cheating or shabdabhit, a jugglery of words. One should be extremely careful to avoid these various types of cheating systems of religion. Once a man, he went to a landlord, a jamindar, and he saw that a jamindar is sitting nicely in a garden, relaxing. And this man had some intentions of gaining something from him. So he went there and started praising him, that you're so wonderful, you're so charitable. So every time he would glorify him, this man would just shout at his wife who was inside. He says, please get some glass of milk. And he would say, okay, that means he's expecting something from inside. So he would again go on glorifying. So as he was glorifying, he was ordering more and more wonderful things from inside. Nothing was coming out, but he was only ordering. And then after some time, after so much of glorification of the landlord, he thought to himself, maybe, you know, why is it taking so much of time? Let me just ask him she took some courage and started asking the landlord, the jamindar. He said, please tell me, you had asked order for so many things from inside and still nothing is coming out. Where are all those items which you asked for? So the jamindar said that, what did you just do now? He said, I glorified you. He said, you glorified with your words. I also answered with my words. That's all, as simple as that. Nothing will come out. You glorified me with your sweet words. I also try to please you with the sweet words. So actually, if you see, as Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, this world is a place of the cheaters and the cheated. There's nothing else. Either you are cheated or you are cheating someone else. So ultimately, we are living in this world where at any point of time, either we are busy cheating someone else or getting cheated in some way or the other. We are very fortunate to be under Srila Prabhupada's shelter and guidance, and thus being protected from these various types of cheating religion. I am sure all of us at some point of time in our life have been into one of those types of religion, so-called religion as we all call it. If it was not for Srila Prabhupada's kindness and mercy, probably we would be stuck up somewhere over here, one of those five types of cheating religion. The very thing that it is appearing in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam means it's been going on for many, many years. When Narad Muni is instructing Yudhishthira Maharaj about this, that means, so many years before, it's been going on. That means this particular propensity is there in a living entity to cheat. As one of the things, he said that living entity has a tendency to cheat. So this propensity is there in a living entity to cheat. And when there is a opportunity for a person to cheat or get cheated, that person would exercise that influence. As in the 10th canto, it's mentioned that whenever there is darkness, the jugnu, the fireflies, they gain prominence. They show their light. But as soon as there is sunshine, then they lose their importance. So similarly, in this age of Kali Yuga, especially in this age of darkness and ignorance, you find that so many such cheating types of religions will come up because nobody is aware about what is real religion. Right in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Suta Goswami mentions about, it's mentioned in the first chapter itself, Prayana Alpayushu Sabhya Kalo Asmin Yuge Janha Mandasu Mand Matayo Mand Bhagya Upadritaha. That means in this age, there is always people are going to be quarrelsome. They are always going to be lazy. If at all they are inclined for some religious practices, then they are misguided and they are always disturbed. People are lazy for spiritual activities. And if at all somebody is for, then they are misguided. Why there are cheaters here? Because there are people who are want to be cheated. Just like, why there are imitation jewelry shops? Because people don't want to pay a high price to buy gold. Because if you want to buy gold or diamonds, then you have to pay a very high price. And very few people will go to that place. But then people want to wear something which looks like gold, and they want to show it off that they are wearing gold ornaments or maybe diamond jewelry, diamond necklaces, but they can't afford. So definitely there are so many shops which sell this imitation jewelries. As simple as that. So ultimately, because you want to be cheated, there are going to be people who are going to be taking advantage of you. In the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, very nicely it's mentioned that how a living entity, because of different natures and desires, everyone have their own nature, everyone have their desires. So because they have different desires, the natures are different, there is definitely bound to be some deviation in the philosophy. If somebody wants to get deviated, they will definitely concoct ideas if somebody wants to do that, and said that that leads to different philosophies, different sampradayas which come out because of that. And Prabhupada in that purport, he mentions very nicely that just like Ganges is pure and pristine clear, but there are so many poisonous trees which are on the banks of the Ganges, which are also taking up this water. But what do they produce? The poisonous trees produce poisonous fruits, nothing else. But they take the water from the Ganges only. Though the Ganges is pure, but because this poisonous, the trees are poisonous, they take up water and they produce poisonous fruits. So similarly, if somebody wants to understand the real purport of the Vedas, then Krishna himself mentions very clearly in many different places. As Srila Prabhupada mentions here, what does dharma mean? But then if somebody wants to have a different or somebody wants to do something different, or sometimes if his mind is bewildered, he takes the shelter of the same Vedic philosophy but interpreted in such a way to make it appear look like something which is bona fide. So that's how the deviation comes. And we find in the Shastras how a little deviation can cause so much of havoc in the future. Just to give an example, how Prabhupada also mentions that, when somebody does some sacrifice, you do some puja. Prabhupada gives an example. That for puja, you have a particular set of items. And then during one of those puja, the mother-in-law was trying to teach the daughter-in-law so many things. And it has been carried on from the parampara. And during one of those ceremonies, one cat came inside. So the mother-in-law wanted to just take away the cat, but she could not get up, so she just took a basket and put it over the cat so that cat doesn't move. And the daughter-in-law thought that in puja you are supposed to get a cat and put it. And that's how it came up. And this is how the things come down, Over a period of time, you don't realize for what you are doing, what is the purpose of this, and somebody is doing, you also do, and then it goes on and on and on and on and on. So similarly, like slight deviation in the philosophy, little deviation in philosophy, and you find that completely a different sampradaya comes up. That's why Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he mentioned that there are about 13 or 15 sampradayas, upper sampradayas, which have come out right from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left also. Though if somebody wants to know what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually wants to give, it's very clear in the pages of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Bhagavat. But then, so many sampradayas came up, like Aula, Baula, and so many others. I don't know what the details of it, but then in the Shastra is mentioned that these are all the deviations. It's like from the point, from the vertex, it appears a very small deviation, but when it goes away, it becomes a big, and then it forms its own sampradaya. And the people who follow the sampradaya are made to believe, or they actually believe that that's the only sampradaya. And ultimately, it creates havoc. And that's what happens, especially in the age of Kali Yuga. This is more rampant. In the previous yugas, probably, if there is slight deviation, we would be able to make out that there is some deviation. But in this age of Kali Yuga, it's very, very difficult. Somebody is doing some activity, but then he may believe that he is doing that activity and that is the right activity. What I am doing is right and what others are doing is wrong. And that's why we find there are so many, religion under religion under religion, and people are fighting amongst each other just on the principle that I am right and you are wrong. So here, Srila Prabhupada is speaking about in the purport that to create a new type of dharma has become very fashionable in this age. He just goes on to say how that, that the yogis and the swamis, they try to invent new types of religion, and they just give a particular name to that religion and then have a wide number of followers to that. This particular verse specifically talks about four types of cheating religion. The fifth one is in the next verse, actually. So, Vidharma, Paradharma, Upadharma, and Chaladharma. So, first one is Vidharma. Dharma bhado vidharma syat. And translation is like this: the religious principle that obstructs one from following his own religion is called Vidharma. Prabhupada mentions, what is one's own religion? Dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. Religion is what is enunciated by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What Krishna gives, as Srila Prabhupada, we were hearing the Bhagavad class during the dressing. He says, Dharma means what is given by Krishna. As simple as that. What Krishna gives in Bhagavad Gita, that is what is Dharma. So Srila Prabhupada is very clear about it. But then, if somebody is introducing something and which obstructs one from following this particular basic principle, and then that is called as Vidharma. Just like, for example, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam is a Dharma. You should hear. But then hearing from the right source, that is what is important. But then what happens? This particular propensity of someone to hear Bhagavatam is been exploited by those who want to take advantage. And that's why there are now professional Bhagavat reciters. And we have, you know, Bhagavat Saptas going on at so many places. And people throng in thousands. They come in thousands. And why they are called professional Bhagavat reciters? Because they get money for it. And you are speaking only which is going to be very well, you know, appreciated or accepted by the audience. If supposing you are not taking any money from anyone, then you can speak the truth. You know, just like there was an astrologer who came to someone's house. And as soon as he came, he said, this is bad, this is wrong, everything is wrong. And he just went away. But then previous astrologer was very nice. He said, this is wrong, this place is in a different direction, but if you do this, then this will be okay. This kitchen is in a different direction, if you just do this, it will be okay. And he charged about 2000 rupees. But this person came and he just, in 5 minutes, he just said, your whole house is in a mess. And he just went away. He says, because I don't take any money, that's why I can tell you straight away what is wrong or what is right. If something is wrong, then wrong. So Prabhupada, in a Srimad Bhagavatam, in purports, he clearly mentions what is the fact. But we'll never hear this from any of the professional reciters. Why? Because they are paid for it. In fact, some people are paid to actually speak what they want to hear. Means they have been told that you speak on this only. And they speak only those. And the people are coming to hear because they don't want others to know that they are not impious. That they are pious. That hum log bhi jate. We also go to satsang. We also attend. You know. And they find great pleasure and they are very happy. And they boast it to others also. They tell so many others that every Thursday I go to this place. Like there is one patient who comes to my place. Mondays, Wednesdays, Fridays after 7 o'clock she goes to some place. So she tells me, if you give me appointment, give me before 7 o'clock. Because I have to reach on time there. So this is what happens. You know, they want to know or they want others to know that they are pious. They want to attend. They are attending this one. And that's all. These are professional Bhagavat reciters. Find so many places these Bhagavat Saptas are all going on. And Prabhupada actually condemned this. He said, first of all, one speaks Bhagavatam for one's purification. And one hears Bhagavatam for his purification. There is no other motive behind that. Or there should not be any other motive behind this. Person who is speaking also, he speaks for his own purification because he is describing the activities of the Lord. And person who is hearing also, he is also hearing for his purification because that's his dharma. He is supposed to do that for his own purification. But that doesn't happen. So these are the professional Bhagavat reciters. Like, you know, two examples which we find in the pages, how that one professional reciter is reciting and one lady is sitting there and, you know, only crying and crying and crying. All of you know this. And this person is becoming so much inspired because every time this lady comes and, you know, sits there, he is inspired to give much more profound classes. And he's giving on more club, you know, elaborate classes, and he's getting very much inspired. And the lady sits there and right in front, and she's just going on crying. So end of the saptah, he asks this lady, he says, I'm so grateful to you for so nicely listening to my classes. You know, what is it that in my class that inspired you the best? You know, so lady said, I never heard any of the things which you spoke up till now for all these 7 days. Only thing is, I had one goat, and that goat's beard was resembling your beard. And this goat died some few days back. And whenever I sit and look at you, when I look at your beard, I remember my goat, and that's why I always cry. That's why I want to sit in front of you and I'm crying. So this is what happens. So people do not, sometimes you may think that somebody is sitting and listening, hearing. But what is their motive for sitting and hearing? The motive of the speaker to speak and the motive of the listener is different, completely different. Similar one incident, another a sadhu is sitting and he's just going on speaking, and everyone goes up, everyone walks up. Only one person is sitting there and this person also inspired. Wow, this person is hearing so nicely, he's waiting. Everyone has gone off but he's still sitting there and listening. And after the class is over, he said, did you like my class? He says, no, actually you are sitting on my mat. I want to take my mat home. So that's what happens. So this is how the things happen. Prabhupada very much condemns this particular type of cheating type of religion. And there is what is called as, you know, sometimes even in the chanting, many a times, you know, in Jagannath Puri also, there is a place where they concocted the Hare Krishna Mahamantra completely. So then they feel that this is the thing, this is the mantra for this age. And you find that sometimes, you know, so many names are jumbled up here and there and made to believe that they are the real mantras, you know. So it is said in the Chaitanya Bhagavat that even before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had advented, this particular type of thing was there. It said, there is one verse which says, Ativada Sukruti says Nanira Samaya Govinda Pundirikaksha Nama Uchharaya. That means, what you can take the name of God, but you can take only specifically names of Govinda and Pundirikaksha only. And if you take this, you will get Sukrit. Ativada Sukrit. Say a Nam. Snanera Samaya. And when you can take, not all can take. Only specifically some people. And you can take only when you take a bath. And when you take bath, that time you can only take these two names. Pundarikaksha and Govinda. And not anything else. So that type of a thing was going on even before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advented. But when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, he just completely smashed. Second verse of Shikshashtakam says, Nam Nam Akari Bhavda Nija Sarva Shakti. He says, you have invested all your potency in your holy name. Tatar Pita Niyamita Smarane Nakala. There is no hard and fast rules for taking these names. He just smashed completely this particular philosophy. Some people would say, oh, you should not chant so loudly. Should chant only silently, should chant in your mind. And these are all the various concoctions, comes under the category of vidharma. That means you have that thing, nature, that hearing and chanting has to be done, but this is also so much concocted. Even when you're talking about the yagyas or the samskaras, you know, people are doing yagyas in this age of Kali Yuga because they want to show that we are pious. But they do not realize actually what is the meaning of the yajna that has been performed, for whom the yajna has been is being performed, whose pleasure, nothing. They just want that some yajna has to take place in my house, so people should know that I am very pious. That's all. Like in my house, that somebody had come to do Satyanarayan Puja quite a long time before I came to the movement. And this person came in shirt and pant, and I expected him to, you know, have a bath and come out. He just came in shirt trouser, he just removed his shirt trouser, he just was sitting in his banyan. The banyan was so dirty, and he did his puja, and he was all the time looking at a watch because he had some other appointment somewhere else. And after he finished the whole thing, he spoke one pack of one cigarette and he went away. So after seeing this, my mother said we should not do Satyanarayan Puja now again. But the purpose means, what I wanted to tell you is that this is what is going on. He is doing it because people are accepting the way he is doing it. But why people are doing it? Because they think that this is nice. One should do it. But what is the consciousness? What is the thing, the etiquette that one has to follow? That is all on the side. You know, that's all on the side. Like, just like we are told that before you go for deity worship, we should have a bath. That's natural. Right? I still remember 14 years back, one person came into the altar room and Devamri Prabhu was there sitting, standing. We were dressing together and Devamri Prabhu was also dressing. So he asked him, he said, did you have a bath? He said, no. Did you go to the toilet? Yeah. So when he went to the toilet, he came into the altar room. He said he had to literally push him out of the altar room. So the simple principles are also forgotten. But then people are doing this, yajnas, the samskaras, all these things, you know. Now anything happens, shanti yajna, maha yajna, this yajna and that yajna. But ultimately people who are also, who are chanting also are not very pure. And people who are also doing it also are not pure in their consciousness. But they want to do. Just like Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur gives an example that how one person would take a shaligram shila with him. Everywhere go for puja. He would keep the shaligram shila, he would worship him. And somebody would think that he's such a nice pujari, doing such nice worship. But then he offer nuts and all to the shaligram, and then how to break these nuts? Take the same shaligram and break these nuts with that shaligram, use it as a stone, and then go away. This is what is been told. Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati mentions about it. In fact, the same person who did Satyanarayan Puja, he was carrying coconuts everywhere because he has to, same coconut he'll take at different places. So till it becomes spoiled, he'll take the same coconut and then something else will be taken. So such things, even astrology, people think that, you know, I should be doing everything according to the astrological influence, the astrological. So they have astrological guidance, and accordingly they do. Like Gaurang Prabhu mentions about, you know, that somebody goes to astrologer and he says, you know, mera shani dur karo. So he says, okay, I'll do that, you know, but you have to do some rituals, some things, and for which you have to pay 250 rupees. So this person, I don't have 250 rupees. He says, okay, 200 rupees. But I don't have 200, but 100, 50, but 10. He didn't have even 5 rupees. He says, at least 1 rupee. But 1 rupee, 25 paisa, I'll do something for it. But itna bhi nahi to shani bhi kya karega aapka? What will shani also do to you? You're telling us the read of shani. What will shani also do to you? You don't have even this much money. What will shani take away from you? So people actually want from you some money, and people who are getting some solace from such people, they have some other motives behind it. Basically, no benefit at all, you know. Just like we have an example from the Srimad Bhagavatam, story of King Riga. that he was so particular about, you know, donation, giving this and that, everything. But then one mistake he did and finished. He had to take a one as a lizard. The same side, other side is Amrish Maharaj. Amrish Maharaj, you know, he also offended a Brahmana. But nothing happened to him. The Lord protected him completely. So, if you are trying to do everything according to this, but then you don't understand what is real dharma, then you may be into a very, very precarious situation, actually. The second dharma here, or apadharma, is religious principles introduced by others. That is called as para dharma, introduced by others. That means, like, you know, somebody is trying to influence his or her ideas on you, but at the same time thinking that, you know, that's it's religion, basically. It's religion, nothing else. There's a story in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the 10th canto, where Samba, he just approaches Narad Muni, in the sense, he just keeps an iron rod under his cloth, and it tells the brothers that just ask Narad Muni, you know. Then these boys go to Narad Muni and ask, see, this lady is there, you tell, please tell us what this lady will bear, a child, which child, boy or a girl. Narad Muni understands that he's been made fun of, and Narad Muni curses that this, not iron rod, it is a ball, I suppose. Is it a ball? I don't know, something. So Narad Muni curses that, you know, nothing does, but this particular thing will give rise to a iron rod, which will destruction of the entire Yadu dynasty. And Prabhupada in the purport mentions that this is where the imitating type of religion has come up. In Kali Yuga, many sadhus or swamis will come in this form and will try to, you know, influence their type of religion on you. They'll influence this. Basically, this is how the whole cheating process will go on in the age of Kali Yuga. People will come in the garb of a sannyasi, a saffron robe, and they will cheat people. They'll cheat. And they say, I am God. In the story of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, we know about this story of Bhishikeshin, how he claimed himself to be Mahavishnu, incarnation of Mahavishnu. And he came from a sampradaya called Atibara Sampradaya. That is another sampradaya which came up. And they were made to, they were convinced to accept that their philosophy was the only philosophy. And they are the only followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Bhishikeshin considered himself to be the incarnation of Mahavishnu, and he was propagating that he has come here to drive away the Britishers out of this place. And that's what he was propagating. Somehow the matter had come to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur exposed him completely. You know, so much trouble was had come on his family, but still, you know, he arrested him. He had such a strong mystic power, and everyone was made to believe that he is God. But a few sects of people who knew that his other intentions, what he was doing, that he would, you know, enjoy somebody's wives illegally. So there are few people who are against him, but they could not do, because he propagated himself to God and he has such powers, mystic powers and everything. So these things are going to take place. There are so many, you know, such people who are going to be coming. As somebody approached Srila Prabhupada, he says, Prabhupada, there is one incarnation and he is doing Rasalila. So Prabhupada said, this is not Rasalila, this is Raskal Lila actually. In this age of Kali Yuga, there is Lord is not going to come at all in any form. So this is what happens. Basically, surgia mentality, you know, that taking the things cheaply and trying to enforce that religion on yourself. So that happens in this age of Kali Yuga. In fact, you know, I would go to one place where my parents would take. And this person would actually claim himself to be, you know, God. And he had such powers, he really had powers. and we were all made to believe. In fact, it was very difficult for me. It took some time for me after I came to the moment. It took some time for me to come out of that idea that he is not God, you know, but he is nothing but empowered or a mystic yogi. But then such things are happening, and people are claiming themselves to be God, and so many other things happening here. And then we have what is called, as you know, people have paradharma, like desh dharma. That is social. We want to do some, you know, social activities for the benefit of the country. And they may do so many activities just so that they'll feel that they are doing some dharma. Or there may be some philanthropy activity like Manav Dharma. Or so maybe like Jeeva Dharma. Like there is one religion who say that we don't, you know, kill anyone. We don't kill any living entity. And they just, wherever they go, they just only walk. They don't travel. So one such person came to me. He said, in our place, we don't, you know, use any transport, our sadhus. They only walk from one place to another place, one place to another place, you know. So because they don't want to take anything, and they are very much careful about not to commit offense to anyone. So I just told that if Prabhupada would have done that, probably, you know, we would not have been here and taking shelter. As Prabhupada said that I am going faster because you people are going down to hell at such a fast rate, I have to go faster than you so that to catch you. So Prabhupada used the modern systems to propagate and reach out to as many people as possible, you know, because that underlying principle was there, how to spread this and reach out to people and make them to understand the real dharma, actually. So this is what happens. And that's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in this age of Kali Yuga, Lord came in this age of Kali Yuga as a devotee, Channa Avatar. Because if he had come as he is, then probably everyone would have, there would have been millions of, you know, incarnations. If, because he has come as a Channa Avatar, only some few people, when somebody understands by the mercy of Guru understands, then somebody will know that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is none other than the Supreme Personality. That is very difficult for someone to know that also. And the third type of religion is like, is called as a new type of religion created by one who is falsely proud and who opposes the principles of the Vedas is called Upadharma. That means, Prabhupada is, the verse says Pakhandi. So that person is a Pakhandi. One is against the principles of the Vedas, that is standard scriptures. Like Paundrak, you know, he actually claimed himself to be the Lord. He actually, just, I can't still imagine how we can do like that, you know. Krishna is present on this planet and he also claims himself to be Krishna, with the four arms, with the Sudarshan Chakra and everything. Krishna has a laugh also when he sees, but the way Paundrak challenges Krishna, it appears like a joke basically, you know. But then, just imagine that how much bewildered he may be, that he was considering what he is doing is right. And what he is the Supreme Lord and not the Krishna who is in Dwarka. So, you know, these are Pakhandis basically. Prithu Maharaj, his case we find that how, you know, Indra took the form of a sannyas. He took a robe of sannyas and stole away the horse which was used for sacrifice. And then Prabhupada in the purport mentions that, you know, he is like the acharya for the future sannyasis, the bogus people, you know. And I have a friend of mine, very, very dear friend of mine, who is in the Air Force, you know, very nice person. But he has one philosophy, own concocted philosophy, which is a concoction basically. There's no basis to any scripture. He doesn't drink milk at all. He doesn't drink milk. And he has so many arguments right from the beginning. He argued even with Devamrita Prabhu also. He says, because milk is coming from blood. So how can you drink blood? So you cannot drink milk. So much he was been convinced, but still he has the same principle. He says, milk is milk. Milk is blood, nothing else. So you should not drink milk. And he propagates to everyone. Even his colleagues also. And he tells everyone, anyone who meets, he just says, you should not drink milk. Anything else you may do, but milk, no. Just take up only one thing and concoct that thing. That's how it is. Just yesterday, very nice, very interesting. Just yesterday, one patient had come to my place. Son of my teacher, my biology teacher in my college. And son is studying in America. He is doing his PhD in some PhD is doing. He did his management and now is doing PhD. And talking many rubbish things. Rubbish means in the sense, which cannot be spoken here. But anyhow, the thing is that he smokes also. And because of which his teeth were spoiled. So I told him, I said, the teacher, my teacher was also sitting there. He said, doctor, please tell him not to smoke. So I told him, I said, you should not smoke, Very nice. I called him up and told him what did he speak. So I have written down that. But now I cannot find it. Anyway. Yeah, here it is. Yeah. So I said, why are you smoking? He says, doctor, I'll tell you something. He said, when you think the synapses in the brain fire up and your thoughts concentrate to a single point in that brain, it's only befitting that you have a corresponding fire at the tip of your fingers. He says, by the synapses, when the two neuron cells in the brain, they meet, that's called a synapses. This is when the synapses in the brain fire up and your thoughts concentrate to a single point in your brain, it's only befitting to have a corresponding fire at the tip of your fingers. That time I did not understand what he said. I said, you keep it on your finger, why are you taking it on your lips? You said your corresponding is befitting that you keep it at the tip of finger. You keep it at the tip of finger. No, why are you taking it on your lip? Oh, doctor, that's a different issue, he said. He said, I even made my girlfriends also smoke by this philosophy. Now, this person, he is convinced of this and he is inducing someone else also smoke. So since I thought, now I called him up and I said, please tell me what you spoke. So he was very much inspired to give me that thing. And I was writing, he said, doctor, why do you want it? I said, I want it for some purpose. But anyhow, this is another type of religion. He's so convinced about it and smoking. And I said, whose philosophy is it? He said, this is a philosopher called Ayn Rand. I don't know who is this. Ayn Rand. He told me the spelling also. He said, I modified a little bit, he said. So that's his Upadharma. So this is what is Upadharma, And the last one is Chaladharma. Chaladharma is what? Misinterpretation of Bhagavad Gita. As Prabhupada mentions. Misinterpretation of Bhagavad Gita is Chaladharma. That is word jugglery. Nothing else but word jugglery. As Prabhupada mentions, the Mayavadis means they just juggle up all the words. Prabhupada mentions very, very explicitly in his books at different places also. And he strongly criticizes one great philosopher who speaks about man mana bhavat makto madhyaji man manskuri. So it's not that Krishna who is talking about man mana, it's something else. It's someone within. So there is so much of jugglery, like word jugglery. You don't accept the things as it is. Like sarva dharman paritaja mam ekam sharanam braja. It's very simple. Meaning is very clear. But then somebody juggles it up. Sarva dharman paritaja mam. Sarva dharman paritaja mam. Ekam sharanam braja. Like that. So many word juggleries, they are taking place under the name of Bhagavad Gita. So here Prabhupada mentions that, ki when Krishna directly says something and some rascal, very rarely he uses rascal in the books, but in the dialogues, in his conversations he uses very often, but some rascal interprets it to mean something different, then that is chala dharma. It is a religious system of cheating or shabdabit, a jugglery of words. And Prabhupada says one should be extremely careful to avoid these various types of cheating systems of religion. So Prabhupada here says that, you know, dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. And what is our dharma basically? Is jivira swarupaye krishnira nityadas. A dharma is just to serve the Lord, being a servant, and just follow the instructions which is given by the Lord in the pages of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. But then that is not enough. In the fifth chapter of the same canto, it is mentioned. In fact, Narad Muni mentions about it. Prabhupada in the purport also gives. He says, even if you are a scholar, you are a very good reciter, you may know all the Shastra by heart, but unless until you take the dust of the lotus feet of a pure devotee to the Lord, you will never be able to understand Krishna. And in that same purport, he mentions, you know, 2-3 times. He says, unless until somebody gets, this is in purport to that verse where Prahlad Maharaj is instructing Hiranyakashipu that now we should go to Vrindavan and now we should take the dust. Unless until you smear head with the dust of the lotus feet of pure devotee, you will not be able to understand. Prabhupada purport mentions 3 times that unless until you take shelter of someone who is bona fide, a pure devotee of the Lord, you will never be able to understand Krishna. Never be able to understand Krishna. So, when you take shelter of a bona fide guru who is coming this parampara and teaching us and preaching us this, pure Krishna conscious philosophy, and when you take shelter of such a person, then only our life becomes perfect. Otherwise, we will be misled by so many cheating types of religion. In fact, Prabhupada is so merciful, as somebody would say that, even if somebody is following any of this, different types of cheating religion, but one comes in contact with the devotees of the Lord, even if he is there even for 1 month, years, even for 1 month, and when he goes on and hears something else, he understands that there is something wrong outside. When he hears somebody saying something different, then he understands that there is something wrong. Sometimes the people come forward and ask, I think I heard like this, you know, maybe that person who is talking to me about it, he is talking something else, something different. So that's a mercy that, you know, by hearing even for few days, we come to know the real dharma or the real religion, and we can distinguish at least the real religion from a cheating religion. That much at least you come to know, you know, what is real religion and what is cheating religion. At least that you realize. You may not know the intricacies or detail, but you'll know that something is wrong. What I'm hearing outside or what I was doing was wrong. So this is how it is. So we are very grateful to His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada and all the previous acharyas for giving this wonderful gift. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna. And thank you for tolerating me. Hare Krishna. Granthana Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jaya.